Scripture this evening you'll find in Paul's letter to church at Galatia, Galatians chapter 6. Let's hear the word of our God. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves, who are circumcised, keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So is our reading of God's holy, inspired, and infallible word. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, children, the passage we read and are going to think about this evening is a easy text, you might say, a simple text, enough for all of us to grasp and to understand. We've been concerned at the beginning of this spring season about the farmers. Too much rain, not being able to plant, to sow the seed. If they can't plant the seed, you end up with no harvest. We've sung that together too. When harvest times appear, he shall be glad indeed, for they that in the sowing weep shall yet enjoy and gladness reap. I think as we get older, we all recognize intuitively, I think to some degree, how much this truth relates to our lives, not just simply naturally, but especially spiritually. The things we've sown, our words, our actions, our deeds in the years behind us, now oftentimes come to stare us in the face as they bear fruit in our lives. Paul has been writing to this church at Galatia. He had ministered to them. The gospel had come to them. They had received it gladly. But something happened. Others had come in among this church at Galatia and begun to sow seeds of question, of doubt, of false teaching. And Paul, he corrects them by stating they had been bewitched. They had been deceived into thinking contrary to the gospel. Having been made right with God through the freeness of the gospel, somehow they were now urged by these false seeds of doubt and teachings that were not according to the word of God, deceived into thinking they now needed to add something to that salvation. Oh, they wouldn't deny that faith was necessary. They wouldn't deny that Christ was necessary. But there was something now added to, something in addition to what had already been stated in the gospel. And so Paul is urging them to a right understanding again of the gospel, that we are alone justified before God by faith in the work of what Christ has accomplished, not by what we will be able or have done before God. And he tells them that they had come to Christ by faith. They had been saved by believing in Christ. They had become the sons of God even by adoption. He tells them that they were now set at liberty, and they were to now stand in that liberty, not be entangled again into bondage. He calls them to be free. If you are a Christian who has believed in Jesus Christ, and you're not living free, we need to ask ourselves the question of what is keeping us in bondage. He said, you're called to be free. You're free to love one another. There's no limit or expansion of that love that you could have. You can't be overly kind to one another. Even this morning we've heard, as you've been forgiven of God, so forgive others. We could say the same thing is true about love. As God has loved you, so love one another. Paul sets before them then, in light of that contrast, the difference between the work of the flesh, selfish, done to please self, or the work of the Spirit, done to love others and to live to the glory of God. And so Paul's going to conclude this letter in which he's spelled out many of the false teachings they had sort of been entangled with, and he wants to set them free, but he's calling them to good works. That is too a part of the whole counsel of God that the church at Galatia and the church in Grand Rapids needs to hear. Luther said, if people are taught in a sermon that salvation consisted not in our works or life, but in the gift of God, some men take occasion to be slow to good works and they live a dishonest life, if it's God saves us anyway. And he says, if they preached a godly life, an honest life, others did by and by attempt to build ladders to heaven. And so he says, you see, we need to hear both free grace and justification as well as what you so you will reap. This leads us then to our text. Our text you will find in verses 7 to 10 of Galatians 6. Paul says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Our theme is sowing and reaping, with three thoughts. First of all, simple principles, and out of that, the second thought will automatically flow one by one, the profound implications of those principles. And then after we sing, we'll see the urgent consideration that Paul sets before us. Paul begins this section here with this phrase, do not be deceived. Don't be led astray. Paul is saying, I'm going to tell you something that is absolutely, fundamentally true. It's true for the believer. It's true for the unbeliever. It's true for the backslider. It's true for everyone. It's almost as if Paul has set forth this universal principle. Just like in science, we talk about this law of gravity. If you drop something, it's going to fall to the ground. Even the children know that. If you jump off of something, you're going to go down to the ground. Well, this is a universal principle that Paul is calling the people at Galatia and us to consider tonight. Paul is concerned that the Galatians were being deceived, tricked. Tricked into believing something that wasn't true. Tricked into saying they believe something, but then actions never followed. Which in essence then it meant that they never believed it in the first place. The Bible tells us, Jesus himself said, don't only be hearers of the word, but be doers also, lest you be deceived. There are those who you can visibly hear them speak about Christ and salvation and being delivered. They rejoice. But they don't do what Jesus has called them to do. And Paul is saying to those at Galatia, don't fall into this deception where you imagine certain things that aren't true because your lives give evidence it's contrary to that. Don't think God will be mocked. Why not? Because Paul understands God sees the heart. Children, you know that. The Old Testament principle is clear. It follows through the whole of scriptures. He sees our hearts. When all of the sons, David's brothers, sons of Jesse, passed before Samuel, God was looking not at their outward stature, he saw their hearts. You can't pull the wool over God's eyes. I can't either. We can look good on the outside. We can give the appearance of nice, pleasant Christian. But what's on the inside? That's what God sees. And so the principle Paul is using here from a natural illustration, he is using to make spiritual and moral application. He says, don't be tricked. God is not deceived. He's not going to be mocked. And what is it? This is the principle. Whatever a man sows, that he will reap. The farmers who went out this spring and they put soybeans into their planter and went down the rows, don't expect to go out a few weeks later and to have, when they planted soybeans, corn to grow up in the rows. It just doesn't happen. It'd be shocked. It'd be stunning. Rightly so. And these basic principles that come to us from this illustration that Paul is giving to us are clear, and they do have spiritual implications for us. Are we deceived concerning that truth? We are continually open to deception in our wicked hearts. Sometimes I see someone with exceptional, extraordinary talents and gifts from God, and they're not using them to the benefit of God's glory. And they're sowing certain things in their life now, not using the talents and gifts God has given them. And it's going to show up later in their life that they hadn't sown these gifts, these talents, these blessings that God had given to them. Children, that may be something you need to consider. Maybe God has given you the abilities, talents to study or to learn, And instead of doing that, instead of sowing to those things that God has given you, you're sowing to other things. You're sowing seeds in computer games or books, or wasting your time doing other things, and you never end up entering into further education. I know that myself by sad experience. I rarely had to study. It's nothing to do with my abilities. The God-given abilities I had, yes, I didn't need to study. I could listen in class and take tests. And a friend of mine who hadn't had as many talents didn't need to study as much. And he was always studying for hours, and I could just go and take the tests and do okay. In high school, till I got my first class in college. What I sowed is now reaping. What are you sowing? What are you going to reap? Don't be deceived into thinking you can violate God's laws and get away from it. Don't think, if whether you're a believer or not, that you were going to escape this general principle that Paul is setting before us. And so what I want to do tonight is unpack six or seven of the principles that we find even in natural way and apply them, the implications for our lives spiritually. First of all, then, I want to say the implication Paul is setting before us. And you find these ideas of sowing and reaping throughout the whole of Scripture. But the first thing I want to emphasize, this constant theme is this balance between our responsibility and God's sovereignty. When we think of the farmers going out to sow their seed, or your mom or dad goes out to the garden and plants it, why are they doing that? They're working, they're laboring, because they know whatever they plant in that garden has the potential then to grow and to bear fruit, which you can then eat and enjoy. If you don't go out and plant, and you don't go out and till the ground and weed the garden, you're not going to have something to eat. You may have it through other means, but not from that plot of land. This is our calling, to labor and to work. But you know, you do your responsibility, but the man who's planted his garden and the farmer who sowed his corn is not able to make one of those grains grow. He's dependent on God for rain. He could fertilize and, I suppose, water with irrigation. But even then, he's still dependent on God to do what God has designed it to do. He can't make one seed grow. So he tends to the field, he plants the field, and he waits in dependence on the Lord for the harvest. He does that with expectancy. And that's true also with spiritual things. This wonderful balance that God has put into this world, if you will, put into our lives. He calls us to use the means of His grace. He calls us to pray. He calls us to read the Scriptures. He calls us to do these things. And He will bless them. He will bless us in reading the Scriptures. He will bless us as we meditate upon these truths. And He will take it with His Spirit and apply it to our hearts. The same with a preacher who's standing preaching to a congregation. There's no preacher who can take that word and enter it in and cause the seed to grow into anyone's heart. But that doesn't stop us from preaching. Why not? Because we know God has promised to bless it. But if you aren't listening, if you're not here mentally and with your understanding, the words are going over your head and the seed is falling onto ill-prepared soil. How do you expect to harvest? How do you expect to grow fruit to the glory of God? That's the first thing. Balance of responsibility and God's bearing of fruit, blessing us. We are called to sow the good seed, the word of God, in our heart. He will bring it to fruition. The second thing we learn is we reap only what we sow. If you don't sow anything, you're not going to reap anything. And the fact is that at every juncture of our life, we are making choices. We're sowing, as it were, seeds. And even the failure to make a choice in a particular circumstance or situation is a choice. And every one of those choices and decisions and seeds that sown is going to bear some fruit. It seems that in many things we're perhaps not sowing. But if you look back over your life, it's often the little thing, the little word, the little gesture of kindness by someone that has spoken volumes, that has borne fruit. It begins to sprout and begins to grow. How many of us conscientiously sow these seeds? That's what Paul's getting at here too. Sowing seeds of love, sowing seeds of kindness. Because just as we have spoken often about sowing seeds negatively, Paul is really emphasizing things here positively as well. What kind of things are you saying, are you doing that would give you of the Spirit to reap life everlasting? And this principle of what we sow, we will reap, is true not only individually, it's true as a nation as well. Children, you are going to reap the fruit of what's being sown in our nation now and even before you were born. Politicians speak about it. Oh, our children and the posterity. They know what's true. What they sowed in the 60s with the sexual revolution, we're reaping today. In homosexuality, in abortion, in transgenderism. That's what Paul's talking about, not specifically, but the principle. Fathers and grandfathers are here who've sown in those generations. And they're reaping. We're reaping now that fruit. What's been sown in our society is also true, not only individually. What we sow, we will reap. The third principle is the things we sow will bring forth the things we have sown. The fruit will be like the things that we have sown. God instilled that principle from the very beginning. He produced everything, and they produced after their kind. So when an apple tree gives fruit, what kind of seeds are in the apples, children? Apple seeds. So if you plant those seeds, you're going to have an apple tree. Bean seeds, you go out to the garden, you take them out of the pod, you could save them for next year, and you plant them again, you get bean seeds to grow beans. Cattle give rise to cattle. People give rise to people. And the same principle is true in the spiritual realm. When Adam sowed to his flesh, he reaped the fruit of that sowing, which was corruption, death, division, separation. But Paul says, when we now, through Christ, are sowing in the Spirit, there is another reaping, there is another gathering of a harvest of even life everlasting. John has said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. What is he saying? What the rest of the scriptures are saying. If you sow something in the flesh, and the flesh can only sow the flesh, and the Spirit can only sow the things of the Spirit. So if you're not born again, you can't sow any spiritual things that are going to reap a spiritual harvest. It's flesh. And those who are in the Spirit are called not to sow to the flesh any longer as they used to do, but now to live, to sow, and to labor in the Spirit. The flesh will only end in corruption and death. But those who are in Christ are now said to be in the Spirit. They are a new creature and they're called to sow acts of kindness and love and words and action to the Spirit. And they will give rise to the fruit of eternal life. And Paul says, stop. Don't let yourselves be tricked. What you sow, you're going to reap. And somehow in our Reformed understanding, we don't think that principle applies. Because, well, Christ saved us. He's our fruit. And that's true. But it's true as well. What we sow, even after grace, we're going to reap. So if we sow to the flesh after we have believed in Christ, we're going to reap that distortion. We're going to reap that lack of communion with God. We're going to walk through life anxious and despairing even perhaps because we won't have that union with Christ as we are called to have. Paul says, stop letting yourselves be tricked. What you sow, you will reap. Fourth principle. We rarely reap things immediately. Your mom doesn't go out a Monday morning and plant some wheat seeds or corn, and at the end of the week, or even Tuesday, goes out to shell the corn and to grind it into a powder to make bread. Doesn't happen. How does that apply to this, what Paul is saying? He's saying you often will not see the fruit, the evidence of what you've sown right away. You may not see what you have sown in reaping tomorrow, or even the end of the week, or the month, or the year. But what does Paul say in verse 9? It's in due season. So on the one side, it can be to those who are sowing to the flesh to give them the deception that, oh, I can get by with this. I'm not going to be found out. I can do this and I won't have to suffer any consequence for what I'm doing or saying. And it's not coming back immediately in fruit to me, a painful fruit. Paul says, don't be deceived. It's coming. And the same is true sometimes when we do things which would be pleasing to God. We seek to do the things that God has commanded us to pray for others, to speak a word of kindness, to perhaps speak to someone about sin or whatever the call might be, difficult things. And we don't see the fruit right away. And we get discouraged. And we don't press on. Paul says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we don't faint. The fact is, what we do today, we're going to see it again later. We're becoming today what we will be the rest of our lives. And the issue at stake here is of vital importance. The children know this. Some things have immediate consequence. When you're growing up and you're 3 years old and you begin to walk around the kitchen, if mom says, don't touch the stove, and you touch it, it's hot, immediately you know the consequence. But there may be some people who are sitting here who have engaged in sin, have bitterness that's the reflection of not being forgiven, as we heard this morning, welling up in their heart, or they're looking at internet sites of places they shouldn't go. Maybe they've coveted or have taken things that don't belong to them. And immediately the consequence is not evident. They may be lying here or there about things, and they may seek to get away from the consequence of this, and they may seem to escape. But Paul's saying, don't be deceived. You won't escape. You may have heard the expression, you sow a thought, you reap an action. You sow an action, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, and you reap a destiny. There are people appearing in the news today who have done terrible things. They thought to have escaped, covered it over, the law pushed it aside. But again, it's coming to light. Don't be mocked. God isn't deceived. What we sow, we will reap. Don't lose sight of this promise, for the blessing also, if we sow to the Spirit, the reward, the promise, the blessing is coming. That's faith, believing God. And we get this distorted. All the way back to the beginning of the scriptures in Job's day, there was this kind of deception that people were falling into. They were thinking, as Job's friends, if you have bad things happen to you and you have a miserable life and all these things are happening in pain, well, what did you do? You must be sinning. If you have a glorious life and you've got no troubles and everything's going fine, well, you must be right with God. Even through the time of Jesus, when they brought him this blind man and they asked him, Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents? What does Jesus answer? You're asking the wrong question, he in essence is saying. It's for the purpose of God this man was born blind, for his glory. It's not a matter of if I'm suffering that I need to immediately connect it to some kind of sin. But what's the purpose of God in it? How am I responding to it? Am I depending and relying on God's grace to go through it? It may seem to us that the ungodly in this life prosper, and the godly suffer. Paul's saying, don't be deceived. Jesus, in telling the parable about Lazarus, reminds them, when this rich man, in the day of judgment, is told, son, remember thou in thy lifetime, thou did receive good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now is he comforted, and thou art tormented. That's part of our cultural problem today. Children, you're growing up with luxury. Blessing, seemingly on every side. Everything is at our fingertips. You want it, you have it today, if not tomorrow. But Paul is saying, you're sowing seeds. It takes time to mature. It takes time to grow and to bear fruit. It will. But no, if you sow to the flesh, you reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you reap life. Everlasting. The Lord's in no hurry. His plan is perfect. He's carrying out that plan. He's not been thwarted that somehow something went wrong. No, he's carrying it out with precision, with delicacy, with kindness and love. We try our own strategies and our own plans, but God is in the heavens. He's putting all that aside. And he's telling us what you've sown in your life, you're going to reap. If you neglect the sowing of this word as you grow up as a young person, and you neglect reading the scriptures and studying the scriptures and praying, when you get older, it will have its effect. Likely you'll have no use for this word of God. No use for prayer. Your lives get busier. But those who have cultivated early this spirit of searching the scriptures, for in them we know we have eternal life. They reap later as they're older. The memory comes back of those passages they've studied and looked at and been comforted by and taught. A fifth principle. You're going to reap more than you've sown. You plant one kernel and it grows up into a stalk of corn. And there's several ears on it, and every ear has maybe 100 to 200 kernels. What multiplication! And that's true here spiritually as well. We often are sowing perhaps little things, seemingly, but they grow and they multiply when the fruit comes. Think of the life of David. What did he sow? He was a man after God's own heart, but there was a few seeds that he planted along the way that grew into an abundant harvest as well. He sowed at times to the flesh, murder and adultery. The son of Bathsheba dies. Sin enters his household with Amnon and Tamar and Absalom, and even though my house be not so with God, yet he will fulfill his promise. But you know what David experienced. He sowed these couple of seeds and what it grew into. And think of the seeds our Lord has sown, the greater David. He has sown seeds that he left behind with the disciples. And that seed has continued to grow with God's blessing. And it's bearing fruit even to this day that we see the kingdom of God coming. And certainly if the things are not brought to full fruition by the time we die, there's coming a day in which the judge of all the earth is going to do right. What we've sown, we will reap. You know, in light of this, everyone who is outside of Christ has every reason tonight to really tremble, fear. Because it's an earnest call that if all you have ever done is sown to the flesh, sown to your own desires, sown to your sinful pleasure and your own self, you're going to reap God's judgment. There's no escaping it. God is not mocked, and what you've sown is will be reaped in even greater abundance, if you will. You know, if you sow 1 acre, you reap a certain amount. You sow 160 acres, you reap a lot more. Those who sow abundantly will reap abundantly. Those who sow sparingly will reap sparingly. And that's true in a positive way as well. There are some people who you might know, as you think back in your life, who've sown seeds of love and word in season and kindness and a gentle deed. And as they've lived their life, they've impacted this person and that person and the next person and their own family, and it's grown like a hundredfold. I read this week, if you want to be rich, give. If you want to be poor, grasp. If you want to have abundance, scatter. If you want to be needy, hoard. What are you sowing? What am I sowing? Are we sowing seeds of kindness and love and gentleness without reservation, with the liberty with which we have been called? Principle 6. Yesterday's harvest is past. What we've sown already may be beginning to be reaped. There's nothing you can do about tomorrow's harvest. And yet, as you think about this truth, you may have been thinking through the first 5 principles that all I've ever done is sown things that I now regret and I repent of, but now am I going to still be reaping this harvest? God's grace is abundant, miraculous. He's able to restore the years the locusts have eaten. How can he do this? The tendency for us is to become discouraged as we look at the bad seeds that we've sown and we see the fruit of it maybe in a child's life of our own children, that we've not done what we should have done. Our past failures stare us in the face and we flee to God for pardon. Well, what do we think of the grace of God in Jesus Christ? Jesus has reaped a harvest of a field he didn't plant, of seeds he didn't sow, so that we can reap from a field of his planting. A fruit of his harvest is ours. His righteousness becomes ours. The seeds that we have sown in the flesh, he reaped himself. He bore them on the cross. Don't judge your harvest by this world's standard. A nice house, a large bank account, and no sickness on the horizon. Success is not seen in these things. Success is seen in, am I being transformed day by day into the likeness of him who died and gave his life for me? The fruit of our life is seen in, how closely am I walking with the Master? Seventh principle, we will reap and harvest the good when we persevere. It seems as if the evil harvest comes on its own, but it's in the good that we need to persevere because we lose sight of what we're called to do. You know that's true in everyday life. When you sow your garden, you don't have to worry about planting seeds of weeds. The grass that comes next to the bean row and the other kinds of weeds that grow in the garden, they're all going to be there almost without your doing anything. They're there and they reproduce very quickly. But to do the good, as Paul says here, don't be weary in well-doing. In due season we will reap if we faint not. As we therefore have opportunity, let's do good to all men, especially to those of the household of faith. God's grace, you may sow and I may sow seeds of kindness and love and walk in the Spirit and expect God to bless this labor of our hands. We cannot live life as we would be pleased to live it in ourselves, in our flesh. That doesn't mean that we can just live as we please. No, we are called to live in obedience to Christ who calls us. We need to look at what urgent consideration Paul sets before us here in this chapter as we conclude. Don't be deceived. What you sow, you will reap. Positive and negative. John Stott in his commentary on Galatians said, to sow to the flesh is to pander to it, to cuss it, coddle, and stroke it instead of crucifying it. The seeds we sow are largely thoughts and deeds. Every time we allow our mind to harbor a grudge, nurse a grievance, entertain an impure fantasy, or wallow in self-pity, we are sowing to the flesh. And so Paul is here telling us, don't do that. Because he sets before us in this passage an urgent consideration. You're doing one of two things. There's no middle road. There's not like you can go through life and not do anything. You're either sowing to the Spirit, or you're sowing to the flesh. Every action, every word, every conversation, every situation, every decision, we're sowing in one of these, if you will, two ways. the field of the flesh or the field of the spirit? And we need to ask ourselves tonight this question. God isn't deceived, so why not be honest? Where are you sowing? What are you sowing? What do you do with your friends? What's the content of your conversation? How do you treat and speak with coworkers? How do you respond to difficulty and challenge? What's our prayer life? What are you reading? What are you sowing? What are you going to reap? Paul's clear in his understanding and underscoring that the harvest is going to be clear. When you sow to the flesh, what that fruit is. He says it's going to be corruption. But when you sow to the Spirit, it will be life eternal. And these words in Galatians, if you go home and read it this week, these words of spirit and flesh, he's using over and over, and he's contrasting them and comparing them with this contrast of they are diametrically, or they're 180 degrees apart from each other. It's either flesh against God, away from God, departing from God, or spirit directed to God, worship of God, service of God. And notice what Paul says here. This sowing to the flesh, he's sowing to his own flesh. Look at verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh. You're not sowing this for something else, if you're honest. The reason you sow the seed you're doing in a way not pleasing to God in the flesh is because you think it's going to bring this harvest of pleasure, of satisfaction, of life. Paul's saying, don't be deceived. It won't happen. You hear God's call and God's command, some of you over and over again, and you're ignoring it. You're making excuses. You're going your way in the flesh. And Paul's saying, don't be deceived. The word of God is plain. It's simple and it's true. Sowing in the Spirit is eternal life. Are you sowing in this manner that will reap an abundant, good reward? Sowing to the flesh will always take you further from God than you ever imagined and you ever thought, because it's deceitful. And sowing to the Spirit brings satisfaction. Giving to others, denying ourselves and serving others, in some respects, is its own reward. Are you doing that? Am I doing that? Do we live our lives for ourselves or to serve others? To offer a word of encouragement? To speak a word in season? We often in counseling take people to Proverbs 13. Verse 13 and 14, 15. Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding gives favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Talk to someone who's lived in sin for years. If they're honest, their life is hard. It's difficult, increasingly so. Especially if they know and have heard the word of God. But talk to someone who in their spirits are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Though they have all afflictions and all trials like Paul did, he lists them all to the Corinthians. Shipwreck, beaten, nearly dead. And yet, what is he doing? I'm awaiting the day in which I will be taken to my Lord and Savior, and a crown of righteousness will be given to me in that day. That's what he's longing for. That reward, that reaping. He didn't have it here, but he knows it's coming. A crown he knows he will give back to his Lord and Savior, because he graced him All glory belongs to Christ. Paul is saying this is how we are to live, to sow seeds of love and faith and kindness and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and self-denial. It seems hard, perhaps, to do that. It's hard to deny yourself and to encourage someone when maybe you don't feel like it yourself. Or maybe that person has done something against you, and maybe it's your spouse, and you think, well, I'll treat them the same way they treated me, and on your marriage goes, or doesn't go. What are you sowing with your children? When the believer in his daily relationship is sowing these things, we will realize how much we need God to do that. To not respond to a certain situation maybe that would provoke one to anger, but instead to pray, Lord, help me through this situation to respond and sow a seed of love, of forgiveness, of kindness. Keep me from just considering myself in this situation. Keep my eyes from focusing on the circumstances, but to look to Thee and to help me speak a word in Thy name to become a light to those around me. To sow seeds in the Spirit is to be attentive to what the Spirit of Christ is teaching me from His Word, to be walking in the Spirit, controlled by the Spirit, conscious of Christ and what He calls me to be and to do. That's consciously using our members, as Paul says in Romans 6, consciously using our members as we formerly used them for evil and for sin, to now use them for good and for righteousness. And Paul says, if we sow to the Spirit, verse 8, we of the Spirit will reap life everlasting. It's not only what's coming, but it's even what is now. If by the grace of God we are sowing to the Spirit, what do we reap? In sweet communion, Lord, with Thee, I constantly abide. But if you're sowing to the flesh, you can't sing that. Don't be mocking God. It's only as we live humbly before the face of God, live dependent on the grace of God and the strength of Christ, we will live with joy. We will live in dependence, but with expectation. As I said, Paul was waiting in prison, as it were, between two guards, the verdict of Nero against him. But he says, I know Him in whom I believed. I entrusted to Him my care, and until that day. Paul knew. He believed it. Life eternal that Paul mentioned here has nothing to do with the riches of this world. If that's what you're looking to find satisfaction, is not what sowing in the Spirit and reaping those fruits looks like. But even when we sow to the Spirit, it doesn't mean all of the pain, all of the difficult people in our life suddenly disappear. But it's going through those circumstances and those challenging times that God will test us. Will you believe this word of promise that you will not be mocked, that you depend on me, you follow me, you're obedient to me, and the fruit will come? The believer, of course, understands clearly that sowing to the Spirit means we're not accepted on the basis of what we do. We have been accepted and remain accepted on the basis of what Christ has done. Paul recognizes this battle of the flesh and the Spirit that wages in the believer. And so he's going on to describe the new creature that exists when one is born again. And the new creature can become, the new person can become discouraged. When we look at ourselves, we look at what we've sown perhaps in the past, and we wonder what now God is going to somehow cause to be reaped in our lives. And we begin to question God and wonder if he's still going to reward us according to what we've done. Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind, I am now pressing towards the goal, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. To have that perception of God does not conform to what Paul is teaching. And so he says, don't be weary in well-doing, but walk consciously, humbly in the Spirit. You're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses that have gone on before you. Lay aside every weight and that sin that does so easily beset you and run this race that is before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let those feeble hands that are often hanging down be lifted up, and those weak knees be restored with spiritual vigor and energy, and do well, do good to all men. That's what Paul is saying. Don't be weary. Maybe you've prayed for someone that has come across your path for a long time, and it seems there's no answer to that prayer. You seem to have no fruit upon it. Paul's saying, press on for that child, for that spouse, for that co-worker. In due time, we shall reap if we do not falter. Paul knows there may be a time in which we are tested, whether this promise be true, but God is faithful. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Paul knows our proneness, his own too, I'm sure, his own weakness to give up and to look to ourselves. And so he says to the Thessalonians, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. To the Corinthians, he says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And here, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Paul is troubled on every side, but not distressed. He was perplexed, he says, but not in despair. He was persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Bearing about in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus. So that with expectation he awaits this day when in due season he would reap. God isn't mocked. What are you sowing? That you will reap. Tonight has not been about some kind of Ben Franklin almanac good advice. Go to bed early and rise early. Makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's worldly wisdom. This is heavenly wisdom. Whatever a man sows, you're going to reap. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, impress these truths upon our hearts. Help us to recognize afresh and anew our reliance and dependence upon Thee for forgiveness and for strength and courage to do, to plant the seeds, the deeds of love and kindness, the words as well, that we may also begin to reap already now a closeness with Thee, a walk in the Spirit, a delight in God our Savior. Lord, so help us to live in this way, to begin to experience the reality of its truth in our hearts. Prepare us, Lord, for that day in which all of Thy children shall with amazement and wonder, who me, to be gathered in and to be offered a crown of life forever because of what he has done, but also rewarded according to our works. Hear our prayer. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.